I will draw names. We have Ron and Mel. And our next question, what supports will you bring in to support the small businesses for mandatory requirements that they are putting in place regarding the vaccine passport? We'll start with Ron.
Biggest thing I see is that we have a patchwork of solutions across Canada, all these different types of passports and requirements that are different from province to province to province. The NDP is wanting to bridge that to make travel between provinces easier and basically put in guidelines that would bring some consistency to the programs that run in each individual jurisdiction. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you. And Mel, your response?
Thank you, Adam. And this has certainly become a question of this election. An election, I might add, that was unnecessary in the middle of a pandemic and raising the concerns of so many people around this. The vaccine passport systems that are being implemented are actually provincial jurisdiction, and each of the provinces is choosing whether to or not to implement those programs. We're also seeing other countries around the world introducing some sort of proof of vaccination. Our party is the only one that is saying so far that the proof of vaccination or a rapid test will be what you need. It won't be mandatory vaccine passports. We've provided that option to people. We're the only ones that have done so. Thank you.
Thank you, Mel. Draw names. Next questions, Andrea and Kyle. So wildfires, flooding, megastorms are all realities of us nowadays. What will you do to ensure and maintain rapid access to resources like boots on the ground, emergency housing, support for evacuees, and physical equipment? And we'll start with Andrea.
One of the things that we haven't used as much as we could is that Canada has a contingent of peacekeepers, trained people across the country as our defense forces, to bring those in more rapidly and for them to work with the community organizations, the resource rescue people across the industries that are involved in this. We need more collaboration. There have been all kinds of stories that have come out of this last year about how those links are broken. We need to rebuild them. We need to really work together to make sure that we are prepared, because these incidents are getting more and more frequent and more severe. We need to work together to bring our existing resources into play without the bureaucratic bungling that has gone on. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrea. And Kyle, response.
We would get out of the United Nations. That's the number one goal. It might seem like that's the opposite of what we should do, but when we look at the results of the forest fire this summer and what Mike Farnsworth of the provincial government brought the government of British Columbia into in 2017 with the UNDR Sendai Agreement, which essentially slows down our response to all these disasters, adds a lot of bureaucratic red tape. Climate change is happening, and we're aware of this. The human species is a highly technologically advanced and quite intelligent species. We can take care of all the effects of climate change. We can dig deeper ditches, dig deeper waterways. We can have higher berms. We can raise bridges. We can mitigate for fires by building deciduous forests within a 2-kilometer buffer around all the towns in British Columbia. We can invest in Canadian technology for Canadian disasters. But we need to start focusing at home, not from the United Nations, but from Canadian response. Thank you.
Thank you, Kyle. Draw names. We have Ron and Shelley. And our question is, Bill C-6 proposes changes to the criminal code, making it illegal in Canada to subject a person to conversion therapy without their consent, and would make it illegal to subject children to practice regardless of consent. Please share your party's view, position on Bill C6 related to conversion therapy. Ron, we'll start with you.
Quite simply, everyone should be free to love who they love. New Democrats will continue to fight alongside LGBTQ+ Canadians for full equality. Every person in Canada needs to know that they're safe and supported. And that's why we will immediately legislate the ban on conversion therapy. We will end the discriminatory blood ban. We will ensure equal access to gender-affirming treatments and procedures through the public health care system. We will add sexual orientation, gender identity, and expression to the Employment Equity Act and take steps to create a clear, safe path for LGBTQ+ refugees. We will work collaboratively with these organizations and ensure that they are all adequately resourced.
Thanks, Ron. And Shelley, response?
We will ensure that, unfortunately, the Conservatives blocked us so much that we were not unable to pass the Bill C-6, so it died at Senate. This is unacceptable. That needs to get passed. So Bill C-6 is so important to the lives of so many, and that it is unacceptable that we're still going through this. Also, as far as the blood bans, we will work to get that through because people need to be able to support their communities however they want. We are absolutely 100% supportive of LGBTQ2S+ communities, and we are going to do everything that we can to ensure that their rights are recognized just the same as everybody else's. Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley. Draw names. We have Mel and Andrea for the next question. And it is, what is your party's stance on the possible expansion of fossil fuel production in Canada? We'll start with Mel.
Well, I think we first need to recognize that Alberta and the energy sector has been a large part of our economy for a number of years. We can see a gradual transitioning off of that. Our plan to secure the environment addresses part of this. We will incentivize the use of hydrogen powered vehicles. We can do so much here in Canada. Our liquefied natural gas, for example, we can produce it cheaper and at a better under better environmental standards than anywhere else in the world. If we can market and export that LNG to places like China and other countries in Asia that are still reliant on coal or diesel or other dirtier fuels for their electrical energy, we can continue to use some of our fossil fuel use and exports as we gradually transition to greener opportunities. Thank you.
Thank you, Mel. And Andrea?
I think the Green Party is well known for being against the expansion of any fossil fuel production in Canada. I'd like to point out in response to Mel, China is already producing almost 50% of the world's electric vehicles, and by 2023, will be producing the majority of the world's electric vehicles. Other countries are moving much faster to renewables than Canada has. And so I believe that what we need to do is take the support that we're giving the fossil fuel industry and actually support the renewable energy industry. So not just wind and solar, deep untapped geothermal, which we have here in British Columbia, as well as some of the marine deposits. We need to move fast because we've had wildfires and droughts. The world is getting hotter and drier. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. I will draw a name for our next question. It's Shelley and Kyle this time. Our next question, what is your party's position on climate change? And we'll start with Shelley.
Well, that's extremely broad. as an MP, we are going to push with my colleagues to deliver this ambitious climate plan that we have. We have enshrined a law to reach our net zero targets by 2050. We have accountability every 5 years to reach certain targets. And I'm going to ensure that our government is accountable. We're moving through this climate disaster. And we are going to have make sure it's affordable and effective. And we have this costed plan, which is fantastic for getting us through. We have green jobs being built. We have come so far from 2015, and we actually believe that climate change is real, and we have got on track to get our 2050 net zero goals.
Thank you, Shelley. And Kyle, your response?
You know, they always sit here and tell us they care about affordability, they care about making life easy, yet they want to tax us on carbon, and Canadians emit about 1,650 cubic tons of carbon a year, which is one of the highest in the world. I'd say we would stop the carbon tax because it doesn't work. We would stop implementing such restrictions at that net zero carbon, because what that is going to do is going to make cost of farming go up, building buildings go up, building apartment buildings going up. They want to tell you that climate change is going to cost, and they're right, but it's because they keep taxing us and doing nothing with the money. What we need to do is we at least need to assert ourselves as a species to mitigate the effects of climate change and stop blowing up people's for this, because it's not working anymore. Carbon tax is a gas that is not affecting the atmosphere as much as the other, like the sun, for instance. So, I mean, we can't tax the sun. Let's stop taxing carbon. Let's make life more affordable for Canadians so they don't have to go to work twice in a day and expel that much more carbon. Simple as that.
Thank you, Kyle. Quick names. We have Shelley and Andrea. Next question is, what is your party's position on the National PharmaCare Initiative, and what will your party do to reduce medication costs? And we'll start with Shelley.
So we have actually already in negotiations with provinces to get the National PharmaCare Plan going. It has taken some time because we really wanted to make sure that we have a plan that's comprehensive and is going to work for all Canadians. So this is something that is already in progress, and we are going to be moving forward with this, working with the provinces.
Thank you, Shelley. And Andrea, your response.
I am delighted to hear that, Shelley. That is great news, because it's been a recommendation of various healthcare providers across this country for years. So if that's actually moving forward, that is what a number of other countries do, where they buy medications across the entire country and get the savings that come with buying greater quantities. I know that it's a hard thing to do. The federation that we have of government at both levels, both provincial and federal, having responsibility for healthcare. So certainly the Green Party stands for a National PharmaCare Initiative, and that's exactly what we should be doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. Draw names for our next question. We have Kyle and Shelley. What is your party prepared to do to resolve the ongoing issues of childcare? We'll start with Kyle.
Issues around childcare, we do not have one specific policy for childcare, but what we do have is a robust set of economic policies that will make it easier for Canadians to afford childcare, to afford the extras in life, and to go beyond them. We believe it's time to stop pandering with your tax dollars and taking $5 out of one person's pocket to distribute to a few others. It doesn't benefit Canadians in the end. Eventually, everybody requires a government subsidy to live. We got to go back to community-based economics, where we focus on the community making more, retaining more, and being able to spend more on themselves. I believe that a robust set of economic policies will make living quite more affordable for Canadians, instead of continuously promising billions and billions and billions and billions of more in deficit spending, which has created inflation and made it unaffordable to have a family, which you can see in our birth rate right now, which needs to increase. We need to make life more affordable for all Canadians.
Thanks, Kyle. And Shelley, your response.
So we have a $10 a day childcare plan. We already signed agreements with the province of BC. So this plan is already in the process. And it doesn't just get to $10 in 5 years. The agreement that we have gets you to 50% reduction next year. So we are the ones that are making these agreements. We're the ones that have the plan on the ground as we speak. The Conservative plan is going to cancel those agreements, and they are going to give you a tax rebate. So if you cannot afford childcare, you are not going to be able to pay for it, because they're not going to give you any money until the end of the year. The NDP don't have a plan, and they can't tell you how they're going to get to $10 a day childcare. childcare. And on top of that, we're going to be creating 250,000 new spaces, including those in rural areas. I talked to Armstrong, they don't have a facility. So I will ensure that we get the funding to get that facility into Armstrong so that we can have all of us covered under this $10 a day childcare. Thank you.
Thanks, Shelley. Draw names. Okay, I don't have any more names. So in the event of fairness, I would like a yes or no answer from each candidate. And we'll start with Andrea, then Kyle, then Shelley, then Ron, then Mel. During this pandemic, the province have directed the lead on restrictions. What is your party's stance on vaccine passports, restrictions, and mandates? For or against, yay or nay? Starting with Andrea, please.
For vaccine passports, restrictions, and mandates? The party's stance is for that. I would like to temper that with my own response. However, as a member of the Green Party, I am able to speak for my constituents. In my experience, one size fits all rules rarely fit everyone well. And so while the party stance is to go ahead with the passports, restrictions, and mandates, I recognize that there are some people in our communities. My son's best friend had a very bad reaction to his first vaccine. I know that there are some people in our communities that have health concerns that it's not necessarily a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Kyle?
The People's Party of Canada, as far as I know, is the only party in Canada right now on a federal stance that says absolutely no to the vaccine passport, absolutely no to vaccine restrictions, absolutely no to vaccine mandates. The Conservatives may say that they don't, but it's only federal. Like Mel said, they can only control the province, and they're not like us. This party has offered to help Canadians at the provincial level to stop the provincial governments from enforcing these vaccine mandates, passports, and restrictions. It must leave. It is against the charter. It's against Section 15 of the charter. We need to end these programs now because it's just, we're losing a quality of life in this country that many people.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Kyle. Thanks, Kyle. Shelley?
Since it was just a yes or a no question, I'm going to answer yes, we are for.
Thanks, Shelley. And Ron?
As I mentioned earlier, obviously this is provincial jurisdiction, but the NDP is in favor of having a consistent system across the board. So I guess the short answer, if it's yes or no, is yes, public health restrictions, mandates, whatever. If they're put in place to serve a purpose and that purpose is met, then that's what they're there for. And the vaccine passport announcement drove vaccine hesitancy down. So we had about a 200% increase in vaccination rates because it takes the people that are sitting on the fence off the fence because they realize there's some you know, potential restrictions.
Thank you. And Mel?
Thank you. I first want to say that health choices are personal choices, and we will not make vaccines mandatory. I do encourage everyone that is able to go out and get the vaccine because it seems to be the best way out of this pandemic for all of us. But we will not be enforcing mandatory vaccines. We believe that health choices are personal choices, but they need to be made with concise and accurate information. And that's where the current government has failed to provide that clear and concise information for people to be able to make their own choices. Thank you.
Thank you, Mel. And thank you to all the candidates. You will receive a full copy of the questions asked this evening, and you're encouraged to post your answers on your website or your social media channels. Thank you for all of your answers. A reminder to everyone that all the candidates will receive all these questions, obviously, and encouraged to answer them. The closing comments are the last thing, so we all get, you guys all get 2 minutes for your closing comments. We're going to start in the opposite order, so it'll go Ron, then Andrea, then Shelley, Kyle, and Mel. We'll start with Andrea for 2 minutes. We'll start with Ron Johnson and with your 2-minute closing.
First off, I'd like to thank the Salmon Arm Chamber of Commerce for hosting this meeting and giving each of the candidates an opportunity to address your members and the community. I'd like to thank everyone who's chosen to be here and watch and be active in the decision-making process. And I want to thank each of my fellow candidates for putting themselves forward to represent our riding. Every year that goes by without taking action on the issues that matter to all of us is creating a kind of deficit. Many have heard municipalities talk about infrastructure deficit. That's when the ongoing funding needed to maintain, repair, or replace deteriorating infrastructure is not set aside to deal with the looming problem. On a more personal level, if you don't put aside money to pay your heat bill, then you have double plus penalties to pay next month. And if you don't pay next month, it just gets worse and worse until it feels insurmountable. We can't continue to build this deficit of action on the important issues just because the solutions might be difficult. Our governments have not hesitated time and again to hand out hundreds of billions of dollars every year in subsidies and bailouts to big corporations who use that money to pay executive bonuses and then say to us, sorry, we just can't afford to spend a few million dollars on clean drinking water for your community. The NDP has the will and we will put people before profits. We have always been a workers' party and we will get ready to get the work done and ensure that nobody, no families like yours or mine, get left behind as we navigate through the pandemic recovery and move forward into a better future that we can build together. My name is Ron Johnston and I will be your voice fighting for change. I am ready for better. Are you? Please vote for me in the Canada NDP.
Thank you, Ron. And Andrea?
Thank you, Adam. Thank you to the other candidates who've put their names forward. And thank you to you, our audience. This was a tough forum. There were a lot of really good questions and obviously a very well-informed audience. I clearly don't have all the answers. But what I do know is I know how to listen. I know how to ask thought-provoking questions. And I know how to move through inclusion to collaboration to structure specific, measurable, actionable, realistic, and time-based plans. I know how to monitor and evaluate. I know how to deliver projects on time and at or under budget. I would like to be the representative for this riding, bringing both a vision of social equality and climate action. Please vote Gunner for Green. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. We'll go with Shelley.
Thank you for the chamber for hosting us this evening and for everyone here joining us in the conversation as well. Thank you for all the other candidates for speaking tonight on their individual platforms. Before I wrap up, I actually do want to give some credit to the other parties here. I want to say I appreciate the climate plan of both the NDP and the Green Party. They're ambitious and they clearly take it seriously, which is why I know I'd be able to work with them as we all have the same goal in mind. The Conservative Party is making health a priority, mental health a priority. As we saw through COVID, mental health affects everyone, so we really need to ensure that we have resources available to address mental health. This is how we can work across party lines. This is how we can disagree on some things and we can agree on others. Our whole goal is to provide what is best for Canadians and we need to find a way to come together to make that happen. I promise you as MP, I will build relationships across party lines and I will work with my colleagues to get things done. When you go to the polls in the coming days, I would like you to consider both the critical nature of where we are in fighting COVID-19 on housing, and most urgently, climate change. And also we need a representative from this region. We don't need more of the same representing the party to our region. We deserve a representative that's engaged, energetic, and hardworking and a community builder to take our voices and our needs to Ottawa. So on September 20th, vote Shelley Desitel. Thank you and have a fantastic evening.
Thank you, Shelley. And Kyle.
Thank you, Adam, and thank you to my fellow candidates for joining us tonight and everybody else in the audience. I'm here, I'm a businessman, I'm expecting a father, and I'm not looking to be just another politician. I'd like to be a community leader. We have the ability in our party to do as we need for our people, as we are the only party without a party whip. What is a party whip? Well, it's somebody who says, if you don't go with the plan, like Mr. O'Toole says, it will be top down. You're out of here, like Jonah Smith, who was fired for not being with or for vaccine mandates and mandatory vaccines, a Conservative Party of Canada candidate from up in the Yukon. as Shelley was saying, we no longer want a party here that bestows their ideology on us, the community. We want to take our community voice to Ottawa. And that's what I'm standing here in front of you today to do. The most contentious issue, again, is the vaccine passports. And I'd just like to highlight this, that they want to say it's a provincial issue. It's not. There are 338 powerful individuals and they're called member of parliament. Every individual is equal before and under the law and has the right to equal protection and equal benefit of the law without discrimination. And that continues. That is Section 15 of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Liberty and life, that is our responsibility as a federal government to protect that. I would protect that. And I know that this community, being a large small business community with not many box stores in it, is going to suffer from a vaccine passport system. I will stand up for this community. I will fight for this community. And I will do as you ask me to do. I'm not here to bestow my knowledge or my power upon you. I'm here to take your power to Ottawa and fight for you. So vote for the People's Party of Canada on September 20th, and we'll get this country back to normal. Thank you.
Thanks, Kyle. On to Mel.
Well, thank you again, Adam, and the Chamber for hosting this event tonight. And to those who thoughtfully composed and submitted questions about your concerns. The North Okanagan-Shuswap region is its own unique area with challenges central to rural living, large geography, and sparse population in some places. Of course, that's what draws people to live in the area, yet services for those residents are still needed on a local basis. I'm pleased to say that our plan to secure the future has many elements, specifically for rural populations, such as access to high-speed internet for all Canadians by 2025, a set aside of infrastructure funds for small communities, and more supports for both rural tourism and small business. We've spoken this evening about the need to get Canadians back to work, to get on track to achievable emissions goals, and to reunite our nation, a nation that recognizes the importance of good mental health, economic health, and the accountability of those you elect and want to trust. I would invite you to read about these and more important opportunities for rural communities in our platform, Secure the Future, at www.conservative.ca/plan. It's been an honor to serve you these past 6 years, and I pledge to continue to work hard for everyone in the future should you choose to re-elect me. On September 20th, please vote Mel Arnold. Thank you.
Thank you, Mel. And thank you to all the candidates. Tough questions, tough election. Thank you for all that attended. And I know it's not always easy to watch people on Zoom, but we had good attendance. On election day, please go vote. So September 20th, early voting is going on as we speak. You can go to elections.ca to find your voting stations. And again, thanks for everyone. And from the Chamber of Commerce and Salmon Arm, we really appreciate you guys attending. Thank you.